Welcome to episode number 18. Great day, amazing humans. Yes, welcome to the Own Your Thrive podcast and Empowered in My Skin production. My name is Nkechi Wafa Robinson, and I am founder and CEO of Empowered in My Skin, an experienced technology executive at one of Canada's largest financial institutions, an author, an International Federation of Bodybuilding pro athlete, an inspirational speaker, and most recently, a viral sensation after my You Matter speech hit over 3 million views worldwide. This show is all about thriving, and I will be bringing on some amazing humans that own their thrive to help you figure out how you too can own yours. So please leave a review on whatever medium you are listening to this on, and make sure to join along on the web at empoweredinmyskin.com so you can be notified when new episodes are available. For now, I'm your girl. Let the show begin. Great day, amazing humans. Yes, I'm so excited for this next guest. I think I say that every episode, but this guest, oh my God. She, you know, it's a she, wait for it. She's a speaker, writer, capacity creator. She's an award-winning professor of entrepreneurship. She's a podcaster, a 40 under 40, a TEDx speaker. She is the founder of Capacity Creator, founder of Eagle Cake, which is a framework and coaching platform to transform high-achieving individuals from overcommitting and thriving in their current workspace. And guess what? Yours truly, that is me, has used her material. So put your ears together for Melanie Sodka, as she always says. It's like vodka with an S. Yeah. Hey, what's up, girl?
Oh my gosh, I love your intro. Like your energy is unmatched, my friend. Thank you for that.
Thank you. And you know, okay, so Melanie, when I saw your acceptance of the guest interview come in, I was like, oh, I'm so excited. Because this is gonna be I just know this is gonna be such an educational episode. And I really truly believe in my time and my season, this is why I tell everyone. You can hear things over and over again, and you'll use them always differently depending on the season that you're in. And so we're going to be talking about capacity creation. We're going to be talking about your TEDx experience. We're just going to be talking about life experiences via Melanie, you know, and I know this is, you know, listeners, get out your pen. There's going to be nuggets. She's going to drop some wisdom. Get ready. So Melanie, this show is all about thriving. And for me, I believe that it's our birthright to thrive. I believe that as we come out as babies born into the world, right? Like every single day should be our rebirth, you know? And I want to promote that in this world. And that's the whole purpose of this podcast. You are a thriver.
I am a thriver. Yes.
But I do believe that in my experience, all people that I see, adults that I see thriving now, have had a life. And, you know, without you sort of going through the entire life, but I just want you to touch on what, like, pick one key milestone where you believe it was the shift into where you really start to expose your thrive and what that looked like.
Yeah, it, you know, it's an interesting one because it was like a moment where I stood in front of my doctor. And after having been there more times than I want to admit, she handed me a note. And this is the note that potentially changed my life, because what this note said was, this patient is disabled for 1 month. Right? So, you know, your listeners might be like, what is she talking about? But after a little bit of negotiating with her, we wrote me off for a week. And during that week was the week where I decided I needed to change, because that diagnosis of burnout was where Capacity Creator was born. And that is when I started to thrive, because I found deep inside my soul a place where I could create, a place where I could serve others. Mm-hmm. And essentially formed a business out of a little word called capacity.
I love that. And, you know, for the listeners, that's how Melanie sold me. And so she had attended an Empowered in My Skin event, and she came up to me and I was eating, and I'll never forget this girl. Kind of timid. I'm not trying, I'm just saying, it seems a little timid. And she's like, I'd like to hand you something, you know, you can read it whenever you have a chance. But she, you know, I think you also sent me a soft copy, like in, but you
had
a hard copy. And I looked at it and I was like, okay, look at me, like big person. Okay, let me look at this. But I remember I read it and I was like, okay, this is, and I folded it in four. I remember. And I carried that sucker around for me in my Empowered in My Skin notebook for almost, was it a year?
I think so. Yeah. You finally reached out.
Yeah. And I remember when Drew and I decided that we were going to band together, and then we were thinking about who would run a workshop. I was like, but wait, Ego Cake. I know some. And I open up this weathered piece of paper because I've been carrying it around for so long. Open it up, close it, open it up. And I called you, and it's been, you've been a blessing in my life ever since. And so,
likewise.
I think we need to get right into the education, right? So you created this Thin Capacity Creator. And so, and that would mean that it required research. And what have you found in your research as it relates to capacity?
Yeah, there's been so much in terms of research, because, you know, we've probably, if I don't know if a lot of your listeners are corporate or entrepreneurs, but most people have probably been through like the personality assessments, MBTI, or emotional intelligence, or five dysfunctions of a team. And this stuff is what I was doing prior in a corporate setting. And then I went off to start, I left corporate, and then I started teaching. And I started to integrate some of these tools. So I already had that foundational element of, you know, what personality styles were all about and how to draw on the emotional intelligence piece. And so when I started to observe people, I started to observe that people were operating out of four different states of capacity. And really, it's a state because it's fluid. So depending on how overcommitted you are or overwhelmed you are, you're going to start to behave a certain way, which really starts to describe the state. So out of those four states, it's almost like a diagnostic in terms of like, okay, where am I operating from today? Am I saying yes too much? Am I, you know, really in a fatigue state? Am I on fire? You know, am I just saying yes with discernment and no without guilt? So really pinpointing where people were operating and giving a different perspective to how they were managing energy was crucial, because from there we were able to deconstruct their commitment patterns. And that's where Ego Cake was born. Mm-hmm. So that's really a framework that's so juicy and so, you know, tasty, pardon the puns, mm-hmm. but in terms of really helping people understand where are they overcommitted? Mm-hmm. What can they do to resign from things in order to really be able to commit to the things that they want to commit to? Mm-hmm.
And that resignation is so important. I know, you know, through, you know, the work that we've done, I think one of the most valuable things I ever have done with you is resigning from things that were not serving me. And so why is that? Why is that so important? Like that resignation?
Yeah, it's important because it's the big no's to the yeses that we give, right? Like your listeners right now, here's what capacity is all about. Simply put, is being able to say yes to something, knowing full well you have to say no to something else. Mm-hmm. So really, people are saying yes to listening to this podcast, and they're saying no to doing something else. Mm. Because within my research, I dig deep, and I have so much fun with this, and I talk about this in the TEDx, but multitasking is a big, it's a big, big issue right now. It is a, you know, a joy sucker. It is an energy sucker. Just to give, you know, your listeners a little bit of information on, you know, what multitasking does, because a lot of us are like, I can multitask. Mm-hmm. I'm fantastic at multitasking. Like I'm one of the best people. Well, actually you're making yourself dumb, right? Because every time we multitask, we lower.
Not my list. The listeners aren't dumb.
No. That's right. Because they're listening to this podcast, and that's the only thing they're doing. But what research is showing is that by multitasking, we're actually lowering our IQ by 15 points. When you're doing more than, you know, one thing at a time, you decrease your capacity, mm-hmm. Your mental capacity, your focus. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like asking an 8-year-old to write your most important email. Mm-hmm. You just decrease that mental aptitude that you need in order to focus. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of great research around that.
So I've heard once that there isn't truly like the ability for a human to do two things at the exact same time, which is what I think most people feel multitasking is, and I could be wrong, I'm not the expert here, is actually not possible. Like at some point or other, it's context switching. Like your brain is swapping.
Yeah, it's task switching. That's the whole new thing that millennials and Gen Z are calling it too, is that it's task switching and they're becoming so proficient at it. But task switching is also very difficult in terms of like, it starts to relate to cognitive impairment, right? Mm-hmm. In terms of just not being able to focus long enough. Mm-hmm. I'm reading this book called Indistractable, and it's interesting.
Sorry, Indistractable?
Yes. And I'm just looking for it on my desk. But yeah, it's a really great book, because what the author talks about, one of the notions amongst many, is that in about 10 years from now, 5 to 10 years from now, the most valuable employee, right, the person that we hire, that we will want on our teams, is the person who is actually going to do what they say they're going to do. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so much mm-hmm. wrong with that. Like, why is that going to be the model employee in 5 to 10 years? Mm-hmm. You know, so it's our habits, it's our commitment tendencies, it's our self-discipline. And this is really an area where I am dedicating, you know, part of my life to studying and to helping people be more proficient, be happy, be more satisfied in life. Mm-hmm.
It's funny because you are one of the catalysts that kept me in this new habit that I formed. So in December 2016, I had received confirmation of my promotion, and I was on vacation, and I remember reading this article about the power of distractions, right? Like the notifications on our phone. And I remember the date, it was December 21st, 2016. I just decided to do what the article said, which was turn off all my notifications. That the only thing that I should, from a phone perspective, is if I need to do something, are the only notifications that I should keep on my phone.
Right.
And I did it. I was just to try it out. You kept me on it, because you talked about it, I think, at our spring conference, I remember. And you talked about notifications and how it lends to productivity loss, right? So yeah. Maybe we could talk about that. Because I know at one point, every Facebook alert or notification or like showed up on my phone screen, Instagram and all this. And I know that every time I looked off, I think you said 23 minutes to get yourself back to the same level. Okay. So take us through.
Yes. Yeah. That, yeah. This is an interesting and fascinating topic, because we truly, as humans at this point in time, are addicted to notifications. Mm-hmm. So we get that adrenaline hit every time we see the phone buzz or the light go off or any notification ping us. And that hit of adrenaline, or that just hit, it really elevates these levels of cortisol in our body to the point where we can't actually break that down. So it creates stress, it elevates stress hormone levels, it elevates the cortisol in our body. And again, like, it's just too much. We're flooded with it and we're not built to process that quickly enough. So it builds and it's actually breaking down tissues in our body. Mm-hmm. So this is a problem in itself. And it leads to distraction.
Which is not good, because we know that also leads to illness, stress, right?
That's it. That's it, for sure. And so there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of research going on there. So I find this absolutely fascinating. I'm not a scientist by any means, but this is research out of different universities, you know, specifically University of California, Irvine, where they talk about distraction. And so what you were alluding to your listeners just a minute ago was that we are distracted every 8 minutes of the day. So every 8 minutes, something grabs your attention. But what's worse is that the research shows that it takes us about 15 minutes to get back to task. So that's your 23 minutes, right? Where we are just yanked out of that that productive zone, and it takes us 15 minutes to get back to that place, that sweet spot. So there's just so much on that. I mean, like 33% of this world wakes up in the middle of the night to check their phones. You know, sleep was just Simon Sinek was just talking about this. You know, so many people talk about sleep. It's not a secret. It is just something so simple, where sleep is the biggest restorative activity you can do for your health.
Yes, and I probably don't get enough of it.
Yeah, because you're up at 4 a.m. working out.
But hold on. So again, I'm not an expert in this space, and I haven't yet done a podcast on the benefits of sleep, and I know that there's many.
Yes.
I would say that I get a lot of rest. And so I have a regimen that I feel refreshed when I get up, even though I might have gone, you know, and I don't say we try this at home, but maybe I've gone 5 hours sleep, you know. Sometimes when I sleep too long, I don't actually feel rested, even though I have the same. So is there a set hours that we should have of sleep, or is it vary by person?
Not a sleep expert, but the most recent research that I have come across is that the average person needs 7 hours of sleep, and only 5% of the population can operate with less.
Mm.
Again, there's different studies out there,
mm-hmm.
But that is something that I have read. And in terms of optimal regeneration, there's also this REM cycle that we go through during our sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why hitting the snooze button, Mel Robbins talks about this
a
lot.
Yes, yes.
And she talks about how when you hit the snooze button, you know, you disrupt the sleep cycle. When you look at your phone as soon as you wake up, you're interrupting the state of awakening from a sleep. So you're disrupting that cycle, which isn't good to start the day with either. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of cool facts and a lot of cool science that can teach us how to be more restorative. And that's what capacity is all about, is really avoiding those capacity eroding mm-hmm. behaviors.
Mm-hmm. And you know, what I really have learned from you is just try it. I say it on this podcast all the time. Try it on for size. Like, we're not here to harm you. We're actually here to make your life better. And, you know, the land of distractions, like, so much I've gotten from you, but I recognize that in trying those things, the benefit has been astronomical, that I just keep implementing more and more. And so I want you to know that, like, you have really fundamentally created some really great productive habits in my life. And I hope the listeners try some of this stuff. It's not going to harm you. Try it.
No, even just one thing. And that's a book, another resource for your listeners. One thing. Is it an amazing book?
That's the book called?
Yes. Yeah.
Even just one thing, or it's called One Thing?
One Thing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's an amazing book because it just talks about really like implementing one thing. And when you implement this one thing, you start to realize that all these other things just aren't adding any value. So there's a lot of great research and, again, some more statistics in there. So when I say that, you know, when your listeners get off of this podcast or stop listening to this podcast, you know, implement one thing.
Mm-hmm.
We've already talked about maybe 8 or 9 things, but like one thing only that mm-hmm. you think you can do. And once you master that, then you add another thing, just like your cumulative experience on mm-hmm. trying the different things over the years.
It's true. And I think you build momentum. You're like, wow, this feels good. And who doesn't like to feel good? It feels good to feel good. And so I agree with you. One thing, I'm actually going to also look for that book as well. Right.
Yes. It's great.
My husband's on this thing this year where he wants to read a book. I think it's a book a month. Yeah, one book a month. So
nice.
I might have to, these are two great books that I think I'll put in front of us to read. So you're in your thrive. I mean, I can see how excited you're about this. And I recognize it's less about you and it's more about the impact that it has on other humans and how you're able to use it in your life and, you know, with your kids and then just, you know, with your clients and the world at large. So that's when you're in your thrive. Like I know I've seen you in your thrive, and there are like, I don't know. It's just, you know, are we always in our thrive? And I don't believe we are always in our thrive. And I think listeners need to realize that. So can you talk about what Melanie is like when she's not in her thrive and what are some of those, I always call it, there's that one thing that just gets you back on track, that becomes, that's your GPS, that reroutes you back to the path that you need to be on. What's that nugget? But what are you like when you're not on your thrive?
Yeah. When I'm not in my thrive, I am fatigued. It means that I have overcommitted myself. I have, pretended to be Superwoman and have said yes to too many things. And, it's interesting.
You're the capacity creator. You have
100%. I trick myself into thriving. I'm like, I trick myself and then thinking that I'm thriving by believing that I'm going to actually honor all of these commitments to the best of my ability. And I'm wrong when that happens. Mm-hmm. So to put myself in check, to get myself back on track, like my GPS is really using some language. Mm-hmm. It's all about language and really, if I have to back out of something, if I have to say no to something else, that language gives me power, gives me mm-hmm. energy to pull myself out of that fatigue place mm-hmm. and really saying simply, I'm sorry, I just don't have the capacity for that right now.
Yeah. Being that honest. I love that.
Yeah.
It's a graceful way. It's a, repeat that for the audience. I'm sorry.
I just don't have the capacity for that right now.
You see how graceful that sounds versus just saying, no, I can't do that.
Yeah. No, I don't have time.
Yeah. I don't have time.
So right. Yeah.
But who can deny that? I don't have capacity for that right now. June and I use that a lot. You really, it's, that's another nugget. Yeah. What are we now? 12 nuggets?
Yeah. I know.
But even if that's your new language. Because people will give you grace to bow out, to back out.
No one's going to like, it lands differently. It mm-hmm. has like a visceral, it has a different visceral reaction mm-hmm. where it's your capacity. Mm-hmm. It's sacred. It's energy. No one's really going to challenge you on that. And if they do, it feels like you have more power. Like you're standing in your mm-hmm. power more than I just don't have time. Mm-hmm. You're not dismissive.
Yes.
You're honoring you.
And you're being very intentional about that. I love that.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's talk about an experience that I live vicariously through you until that day when I step in that red circle. So I remember after you had completed your TEDx, I believe I was in my car when we were talking about it. I just want to know what the experience is like. And I can hear that over and over. So talk to us about your TEDx experience because that's really monumental.
So I'm going to it's interesting because before doing the TEDx, it was this big target. It was this like, oh my God, super humor. Like it just this big moment where speakers dream of. And when I got accepted, it was like a moment of like, holy shit, I'm doing it.
Are we allowed to swear on this podcast?
Yeah, that's part of thriving.
I'm just kidding. My nieces might be listening, but so I'm sorry, nieces.
Sorry.
I'm just kidding.
Holy poop.
No. Shit is okay. Holy shit.
Okay. But so it was like a second of, okay, it's happening. Mm-hmm. And I've made it. And then the next second, all the way until after the talk, mm-hmm. right? It's like months leading in. It was like, I got to get this done. I don't know how I'm going to get it done. I can't do this. What did I do? Oh my God, what am I going to say? This, I'm going to be in front of people. And it was, yeah. The internal narrative was not glamorous. Like you think about, leading up to it. So yeah, we've had some pretty interesting times in this household leading up to the talk. But Ankichi, like that talk meant so much because it was an opportunity for me to share on a world stage mm-hmm. what I had, just what I had discovered, mm-hmm. what I had to share with other people, how mm-hmm. I could possibly impact people. Mm-hmm. And I practiced so much for that. And I prepared so much for that. And mm-hmm. it was a community effort. So mm-hmm. the Windsor community was amazing. I met some phenomenal people that I am still in touch with. Mm-hmm. And so that whole process was a beautifully stressful, but rewarding process. It was amazing.
And coming out of it, how has it, and I don't want to say, well, it could be changed because I believe that even this conversation, So one of my life philosophies is every experience is actually life-changing because your life was not the same before. You didn't have that experience in your life before. And for the main fact you've had, it has changed during your life. So that's how specific I am about life-changing. But how did that experience shape you, change you, however you want to describe it, elevate you? Who is Melanie coming out of that?
I'm still Melanie. I have a TEDx, and what's wild is that, you know, in all honesty, it's a message that I was able and fortunate and grateful enough to put on a platform that can reach mm-hmm. a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I think what happens is that it holds credibility in the world right now. And so mm-hmm. when I am hired to speak, when people do ask me to share my message, you know, that has elevated me mm-hmm. a little bit more. It has given mm-hmm. me more credibility. And I think that that is an honor that I, you know, I really hold on tight to, and I'm very grateful for. Mm-hmm. I'm still me. I still overcommit. You know, I'm still distracted. I still multitask at times, but, you know, for me, it's just that experience, was something that I hold dear to my heart and that I'm just very grateful for, but mm-hmm. I'm still me. Like, it hasn't, you know, it hasn't really, I don't know. I don't know how to answer that.
There's no ego that came with it. No. But I think there's a humble confidence, which I just literally learned from a person I interviewed recently. Ooh, I love. Yeah. And if you write in a gratitude journal tonight, I did it after my podcast with her. She mentioned, I was like, oh, I love that. And that night I wrote down what it meant to me. So tonight I encourage you, this is nugget number 13 or 14. write down what humble confidence means to you. And embrace that. Yeah.
I like it. And no, I do like it.
You are a very valuable contributor to this world. So I'm so glad and pleased to hear you use the word, like, how honored you feel, because you deserve that honor.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I'm going to go into, wow, we've covered a lot of stuff. I also want to talk about how you protect. So in the moments when you are thriving, how you sort of protect that environment, that thriving environment, the things when things are working and your capacity is not hampered or stressed or strained. So what are your non-negotiables?
Yeah. You know, what's interesting with this one, and I'm going to give your listeners an inside scoop on something that I'm working on that'll be released shortly, but I'm doing a lot of work on five realms of capacity. Mm-hmm. And it's, again, this isn't new. I mean, like,
is that the one where you hold your finger and you,
no,
that's a different one.
Okay. they can't see you, but yeah, there's a whole thing that I do. Okay. So there's two things that I'll do with people, but just the inside scoop one is that, you know, I really take a quick inventory check. You know, I could do a quick audit on five realms of capacity. So where am I with my emotional capacity, mm-hmm. my financial capacity, mm-hmm. health, yeah, you know, my intellectual capacity and my mm-hmm. professional capacity. Mm-hmm. Because if one of them is suffering, if one of them needs more attention, mm-hmm. by focusing on the one that's really needing you, will help make the other ones a little bit easier. So that's one way that you just kind of look through those five realms of capacity, be like, which one needs a little bit more attention right now? Mm-hmm. What needs to happen? Mm-hmm. And that's where a lot of my coaching will go to as well. One-on-one is, where do we need to start? And mm-hmm. we look at that.
And you know what I hear from that as you're doing that? It actually feels like, you know, we talk about this balance thing, and I'm not a big mm-hmm. subscriber to the balance talk, but I hear harmony. Mm. Because I hear that at any given time, you might get your financial capacity where you need it, but there could be another time in life where it's not, you know? So there's a harmony to our lives. There's a flow and a rhythm that's constantly in motion. Yeah.
For sure. And when we focus, there's this, yeah, when we focus on the one that needs help, it'll help, you're right, harmonize the other ones.
Mm-hmm. Right? I love that. So when are you coming out with that?
It'll be soon. So just looking at just creating different modules for each one so that I can support people with it. But that'll be probably in the next month or two. So I'm excited.
Before we go into rapid fire, I want you to do the five. The only reason why is because I like when you get to the middle finger.
Oh my gosh.
Because it makes so much sense.
It does. It does. But here's what I'm going to counter you on that one. Because your listeners can't see me. Right. So what I'm going to encourage them to do is to go to that TEDx.
Okay.
The TEDx video and watch it. And then they're going to get a great sense of a tool they can use with their hands.
Okay.
So that would be good. But the counter thing I'm going to do for your listeners is, if they have an elastic, if you have mm-hmm. a hair elastic, or if you mm-hmm. have some sort of band, I want you to grab that.
Okay.
If you don't have it on you, you know,
don't worry about it. I want you to follow along, because if you put that elastic between your two index fingers, this is also in the TEDx talk, by the way, but if you put that elastic between your two index fingers and you stretch it, every time you say yes to something, you stretch and you stretch. And someone asks you to do something and you say yes, and you stretch it again. Yes, no problem. Yes, I'll be there. Yes, I'll do that. You know, at some point your fingers are going to feel a bit shaky, and yeah, they're going to feel a bit, the elastic feels like it's going to snap, right? And this is the visceral feeling that I want people to experience, because this is what it's like when you're overcommitted. Mm-hmm. It's like when you're overwhelmed. And so you have to find the right tension, and that's capacity elasticity.
I love that. I love that. I had an episode, one of my Thriving Thursdays episodes, where I actually talked about stress. And to me, when I was doing that, I actually was doing it as she was talking to those listeners. You can't, my face started contorting. And so I can feel the stress going through my body as you were talking, like you actually had me stretching. And then when I released, I recognized that that's when you let go of stuff that's not serving you, and it feels good. And in my life, the way I've always termed it is, when I'm feeling that stress, it's because there's structure that's not supportive of everything I have on my plate right now. So to your point, it's either saying no to things so that I can say yes to the right things, or taking a step back and creating the structure I need to be able to support me better.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, absolutely beautiful. That's exactly what it's there for.
Woo! So much. Like I said, this is just, I don't know if I mean, selfishly, maybe this podcast was for me, not the listener. Because I needed this refresher. Like, in my time in my life right now, where I don't know if you've ever had that feeling where you just know something's about to take off. Like, you just know. Like, if I think about the wind that's being created around me, like, I feel something. And I needed this. I need to be better at saying no.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So rapid fire. Okay.
Okay. Here we go.
And when you think of thriving, okay, so picture thriving, just that vibrancy of thriving, who's the first person that comes to mind, and why?
Wow. Brené Brown, I guess, because she's my secret girl crush.
mine too.
Right? Like, I just love her. I love her ability, like her storytelling ability, sorry. Mm-hmm. And I love the way she delivers her research and her data, and she's endearing, and she writes beautifully, and she's vulnerable.
Yeah, she's vulnerable. Very
awesome. Thriving, I
love that. I love that. Yeah. What book has helped you with your thrive? You named two today, but
I did. Yeah. One thing, The Focus Effect as well. Ooh. By Dr. Greg Wells and Bruce Bowser. Mm-hmm. So that's a really good one. Indistractable. Mm-hmm. Ego is the Enemy. Ooh, Ryan Holiday. Okay. Mm-hmm. Those are good ones too. Those have been, and Robin Sharma. I'm a huge fan of Robin Sharma.
5 a.m. Club.
Yeah. 5 a.m. Club. Yeah. Not that one, but yeah, most of the other ones.
Okay. Some of the other ones. Did you read the 5 a.m. Club?
I did. He writes beautifully. It's just the concept.
He's amazing. I love him. Yeah, I love him. So what is a daily activity that helps you with your thrive?
Oh, writing.
Okay.
I love writing. Mm-hmm. I come up with something, and it's usually in the shower or when I'm drying my hair or driving.
Right in the shower?
Yeah. I either will yell to my daughter to grab my phone so that I can actually talk. It's crazy. Or, I'm going to have to buy one of those pens, but
No, I do find that I have my most creative ideas in the shower. Yes. And I'm usually like, okay, I got to get out of, and then I recognize I'm not enjoying the shower because I'm thinking about getting out of the shower and then dressing, creaming my body, running downstairs, doing this. And then in the end, you know how many ideas have passed that I never wrote down? It's crazy.
Yes.
I think that'd be a great invention. I think that they should have something that you could stick in the shower.
Yes.
With a waterproof pen. You could write your ideas. I believe I'm not the only person, or a recording machine or something that's waterproof.
You watch your mail. It's been invented, and I'm going to buy one, and now I'm buying two. So
has it been invented? Really?
Yes, baby. Yes.
Oh my God. Talking about mail, this beautiful, okay, no, I don't want to, next one. What is one misconception of you right now as you thrive?
Of myself?
Yeah. Ugh. That people have of you.
Oh, that people have of me. I thought you meant like myself.
No.
Misconception. Gosh, that's a great question. I don't know. What do you think? What's your misconception of me?
I think you're always busy.
Okay. I hear that so much. So yeah. Okay.
And I don't know who you are. Are you?
Nailed it. Yeah, I am. But it leads to people saying, I don't want to ask you because it looks like you're so busy.
Yeah.
I hate that because I'm like, just ask me and I'll tell you if I don't have the capacity or not. You should know this, right?
You'll tell me with grace. I have the capacity for that.
That's right. You got it. Thank you for answering that for me.
So now I learned, I will call, I will ask. I love that. Thank you. And you know, Melanie, I actually want to publicly acknowledge you, right? Like you nailed me one time where I get this box in the mail and it's one of the best gifts I've ever gotten in my life. And it's a necklace that says lead with love. And, you know, I appreciate you for taking a message that's so important to me and actually personalizing it like that and saying it to me. So you are an amazing human. Very grateful. Thank you so much for saying yes. Thank you for bringing your wisdom into this call. Thank you for being such a gift to this world. And I know that, you're just continuing creating amazing systems that are helping us find capacity in our lives, which is so important because in times that we're passing with COVID-19, we recognize, I think it's the world's way of getting us to slow down.
Yeah. Right? Agreed. Agreed.
I mean, I don't know when this episode is going to post relative to when we come out of that, but that's what I believe about this time because a lot of people are finding time to actually spend with family and friends.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much.
Beautiful conversation.
Thank you. And when your next system is ready, we'll have to bring you back because we always need a capacity refresh. So
do it. I'm in.
Thank you. And this is the time of the podcast where I say, we're out. So there you have it. I hope you're thriving and thoroughly enjoyed this episode. And remember, whatever medium you are listening to this on, please subscribe, like, review, and share this podcast with somebody else that you think could benefit from the tips that were delivered. Because when we share, that is truly when we have the capacity and the power to change the world. It's been awesome hanging with you. It's your girl, and I'm out.